along with some of the things that Matt recited here, that we maybe think pretty seriously about making him a contract employee just for definition of duties and other things like that, then everybody knows what everybody should be doing.
That'd help.
Okay, anything else on that? Before we start committee reports, Mr. Anderson asked for a moment to clarify insurance of the 1980s. In 1990s?
Oh, I guess I didn't. I think the comments we made earlier in the meeting were good enough. But just a comment was made, and I heard on radio anyway, and I think it came from the forum meeting. One of the sheriff candidates mentioned that that everybody had to be more frugal because of the outstanding possible claims by the Beatrice Six, and that all is very true. The part of the comment that bothered me was it was indicated that this candidate had gotten from an inside source that said the prior board, or didn't even say prior, said that the board had allowed the insurance coverage to lapse. And I just feel that that's an incorrect terminology. To my knowledge, certainly in the last 16 years, the boards have covered insurance that was recommended to them that covered such things as liability and errors of omission and omissions. You go back 20-some or 30 years when all this happened, to my knowledge, those boards covered similar insurance. The issue comes, of course, is not whether any coverage lapsed or not, which I believe did not happen, but the fact that is any board, either the prior one or the current one or the county, covered in such a unique circumstance. And, you know, we're dealing here everything from federal civil rights issues to if there was collusion involved, there could be criminal issues. All that has yet to be proven and yet to be sorted out. And there may or may not be liability. And obviously the insurance companies haven't, either the past insurance company that was covering the county years ago when this first happened, or the current coverage companies have not raced forward, raising their hands, saying, yes, we'll gladly pay millions of dollars or even tens of thousands to defend you in court. So what we have had to do is step forward and deal with defending ourselves, and there may or may not be any settlement when all the dust clears. And over that, we can't obviously get into a lot of specific details, but I just think the insinuation that some board, either in history or currently, had allowed something to lapse would be incorrect, and that would be my reason for asking for time to clear that up. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Committee reports.
Oh, you want to look? You're looking at me.
Building and grounds.
Well, I can give you always good news. Elevator may not be in service by the 1st of June. That's a good news. That's a good news. That's a bad news, whatever the case would be. There's still issues involved with some wiring. To do with the server as to whether or not you can get that one wire up and down there within the time frame. It's probably so close to about the 1st of June that wouldn't give them hardly any time at all to move from the offices there where they're at now back to the third floor. So it looks like we'll have another rent payment to the people over there for that. So the other things were, we'll probably have some construction estimates as to what it will be to replace the windows on the bottom floor, I call it, on the south side. That was taken out of the original contract just because of some cost issues that we had with that. And we had quite a discussion on what to do with the sidewalk on the south side, whether to...
But those windows would be funded by the energy grant.
Right.
The $98,000.
Yeah. Plus some funds, I think, also would come from possibly the emergency management also. But we're going to hold off doing anything on sidewalks until we get everything pretty well done as to whether or not we're going to need this one or that one. And, you know.
Somebody going to mow these weeds out front?
They ever mowed?
Where they, I didn't go by. I come around the other way. They finally did.
Yeah, they got mowed yesterday.
I heard, I had more people asking me when he was going to mow that crap than anything.
Well,
that's
we were trying to be green.
I know.
Saving energy and not polluting the atmosphere with mowing equipment. Sound system for the courthouse. Tom Russell has not completed his drawings and what he would recommend for the system in both the courtrooms, and hopefully within the next couple of weeks, Wim and Judge will have some time to review what they're planning for the sound system in the courtrooms. They're still working with Rick Shiner and also Schottler's legal counsel, working up some kind of an agreement as to paying him for work that would probably be started this fiscal year that wouldn't get paid until after July 1. A couple of other issues. We'll probably have a change order coming up with Scott Enterprises. When they were doing the final work on the corners, you see the little white issues that we have there. There was some work that had to be done to make sure that the water drained on those roofs sufficiently and got away from the courthouse. There'll be some slight cost in making some repairs on that that's been already going to be made. And also something to do with the holiday lights or the channel that they're recommending to be installed, so when they put the holiday lights up, the light, that channel will be provided for those lights. And we wanted that those to be separate. We didn't want them to be at one change order, because as far as we're concerned, that's a holiday lights expenditure and not a courthouse expenditure. So, and he hopefully will have those available to us in 2 weeks. Anything else, guys?
That's it.
What I think is important to touch on that is that we did give Mr. Berger, an architect, an opportunity to pay Bill Wheeling before we take it out of his payment from the county, because he owes Mr. Wheeling money from a year ago. I believe that's important.
A second time. Yeah, I sent him a letter almost over a year ago that was his responsibility. For some of you that may not know, when we were prior to letting the bids for the courthouse and the everything that was going on with the underground sprinklers and the air conditioning and all that, we had a topog, one of the topog made of the entire courthouse, grounds around the courthouse. And we told him to go out and hire get the county surveyor to do that. Mm-hmm. Well, he thought Wayning was the county surveyor, so he had him do it. Wayning was not the county surveyor, so we felt that was his mistake, not ours. I sent him a letter to that effect, and I thought it had been paid. And evidently it hasn't, so he's getting a second reminder to pay it.
Matt.
Finance Committee update. Moving along with the budget process, sending letters out. Got a few emails back. I don't see any other elected officials here that bother. Kind of a short timeline on the get the budgets in, but we want to stay focused, keep our nose to the grindstone, so we'll continue to get those in. I'll be sending out proposed wage adjustments for employees. So give feedback on that, see what you think about that. Remember that other than the FOP that we negotiated last year rather quickly, 95%, I don't think anyone for the county that we employ as a supervisor has got anything last year. So we were ahead of the curve by giving no raises last year. We were probably, well, based on what I'm seeing now, the resolution we did for elected officials, we were so frugal, but now we went from the middle to the bottom third of elected officials of the people in our array. So we've been, as a board, ahead of the curve as far as being frugal with wage increases. So look at those. These are very conservative. See what you think about those as we move forward with these wage adjustments for the next budget year. I'm going to meet with Marlon on Friday. Talked to Shirley a little bit, sent Ron an email, and I think Don also, he wants his visit about his budget a little bit. It's not a formal hearing, but just to kind of bring everybody up to speed, probably talk about the truck again.
Probably talk about the budget hearing we're going to have before the end of the fiscal year.
So, just go.
Matt, would you just elaborate quickly on why, because it's been referred to a couple times in the debate for all this stuff, and then, of course, the governor brought up the other day that all the counties and schools and everybody ought to freeze their wages. Would you talk about why that resolution was passed for elected officials?
Yeah.
What the time? Why the timing of it and the length of it and all?
Well,
that.
We've got to do it once every 4 years by state statute. You have to look ahead and try to figure out how things are going to be
prior to people filing.
Prior to people filing, and actually the wage adjustments for elected officials and deputies won't even take place until January of 2011. So we had to get out the crystal ball and try to look ahead. We bounced around out of the committee that we put together two or three different plans. There's no cost of living increase in there. I believe they're 2%-ish, if I remember correctly. And now that we've had some feedback from the clerk's office about the other counties in the array, and I've got the data with me here, we've dropped from the midpoint. Now we're in the bottom third. So I think that reflects that we're conservative, probably inappropriately so, because now we've got our elected officials that are going to be paid less than a comparable position in a county of comparison. So I think that shows that we were conservative. We've stayed there. I think that that's what the community wanted from us. I think that we've been reflective of that. And we have to look ahead. So now things are set for 4 years. So we won't be able to revisit that for another 4 years. And so is that...
Yeah. It was state statute that had to be.
It was state that we had to do it.
We had to look ahead 4 years.
Correct. Yes.
Gary.
I guess I don't want to put words in your mouth, Matt, but when you said that put us ahead of the curve, it actually put us ahead of the curve of being conservative, but actually what you're saying in the comparables that you guys used were actually behind, not ahead.
Yeah, we dropped down.
You
Correct.
Said we was ahead of the curve. I didn't think you
meant
we was ahead of anything.
Not money-wise, but as far as being fiscally responsible, making sure that we're trying to be reflective of our local economics and the local sentiment of the taxpayer, what they feel is appropriate for elected officials. So that's what I meant. Yeah, thank you for clarifying that. Just to touch on a little bit here, inheritance fund we've spent for a courthouse renovation. The courthouse bond is essentially, it's gone, it's spent. We've spent what the balance is in the $700,000 that was budgeted. We've got about $560,000 left. And just to show the value of the inheritance fund from Lori this morning, we have spent $303,000 out of the inheritance fund for various projects, operations in the county. We've had receipts of $261,000. So the current balance is $1.7 million. So I'll give kudos to the board that was, I think, 2 or 3 years ago that recognized they needed to start beefing that up, because before they were using that for operations every year, and it was $100,000 to $200,000 was typically the balance. And so now we're at $1.7 million. It's a good place to use extra money, and it keeps those dollars off the tax roll as far as property taxes.
But, Matt, how much of that is spoke for out of the...
Well, that's, you know, we've got earmarked for that, and I think last time Don said $650,000 or $690,000.
It's close to that $700,000.
Out of the $1.7 million, we've got about $700,000 spoke for.
Yeah, that's what we had based on our budget.
I guess that's the right way to say it. And it's going to be spent.
And I want to say, when I first got on the board, Ron was saying that the board at that time was trying to keep about $1 million in there. Was that kind of the sentiment at that time?
Yeah, at least that in there, just because. You kind of look at it as, again, like an emergency fund. I mean, it's really for something that came up that's a pretty good size project, and we didn't have money in our budget for it, and that's what that's for. But we don't want to use it like I think had been done in the past, using it kind of for buying a pickup or buying a car or doing this or doing that and trying to trace that money as what that operation of that department is really costing. And that's the reason I think we went from a $300,000 budget to spent funds to about over like this $1.8 million now. So
the total budget after 10 months, I'm looking at the expenditures, and that this was printed on 4/27. Of the proposed $21 million planned budget expenses, we've spent, and I won't use the word only, because only and $13 million should never be used in the same sentence, but 64% of the budget has been expended so far. So we've got 2 months left in the year, and we've only spent 64% of the budget. So I think we've, you know, and I appreciate the other elected officials also looking at what the expenditures are. Almost every every office has got 70 or 80% of their budget left, so I think that that's, they've been trying to watch those dollars and make sure that they're tracking those and using those appropriately. And that's it for finance. Quickly, emergency management, we didn't meet yesterday. Mark's been at meetings, but we'll move forward, probably meet next week. And the just an brief update on the ambulance contracts. We're continuing to work with Dr. Rice on those and the other legal counsel. And again, there's some growing pains there, so we're trying. We've got a few months yet. Hopefully we can get pretty close on that, but I'll try to keep people updated on that progress.
Any other committee reports? Shirley.
Law enforcement met. Gus gave us, I guess the main thing was he gave us a list of the things the fire marshal told him that we had to get done in the jail.
County
board. He didn't fill in the date, luckily, but there was probably 27 or 28 things on that list. And he said it wasn't a wish list, it was a shall-do list. And he'll see to that all of you members on the board get that list. The next meeting will be the 17th of May at 10 o'clock, and I know that probably conflicts with the building and grounds, but we kind of wanted to meet with the building and grounds with this things that have to be done at the jail. It'll be done a step at a time, I'm sure, and there's a lot of big items that we'll have to see taken care of. The little things they're trying to take care of as they can now, but and I think maybe he was going to have the fire marshals were going to be there, or somebody else was going to be there at that meeting too. So hopefully we can get some of that stuff going.
Any other committee reports? I'd like a 3 to 4 minute executive session. Just quick update on the FOP union negotiations, and then that'll be.
Go to executive session.
Moved by Bauman to go to executive session. Second. Seconded by Barnard. Discussion. Vote.
Have a nice day.
7-0.
Get some golf in after you put your 12 hours.
They have lights now. We can hit them.
Need a motion to come out of executive session.
Second.
Moved by Anderson. Seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Anything else or a vote? 7-0. Anything else for the good of the order? Anything else for the good of the order? Meeting adjourned 10:15.
Out delegated.
That is sweet. We'll start call to order the Gage County Board of Supervisors. It is 8:53. Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation: Anderson, Gronewald, Bauman, Adams, Fleece, Byers, and Barnard. First thing on the agenda is a consent agenda, which consists of the general agenda. Approved minutes of meeting held April 21st. Approve all claims through May 5th in the amount of $342,753.80. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve advertising notice of intention to make a special purchase May 19th. Use 2006 or newer 4-axle semi-tractor with approximately 50,000 miles on the unit. Approved canceling check number 11180 to Johnson County Sheriff in the amount of $33.90 due to double payment, and that is the consent agenda.
So moved.
Moved by Anderson.
Second.
Seconded by Bauman. Discussion.
Chairman, I'd like to pull off for discussion Bill Whaling's claim and then the number 5 about the
Trump. Bill Wheelings is on the
agenda.
Oh, it's on the
agenda.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Then number 5, about somebody tell me what that's about a little bit more in some detail.
Road and Bridge.
Yeah, I guess Marlon's here, but they worked with Finance Committee. I met with them a couple times. I guess they worked out arrangements on how they would go about paying for it's an upgrade of the tractor unit that pulls the low boy around. The one we've got now is 20 years old.
It's a 1986.
They're more than that.
How many miles does that 86 have on it?
700 and some.
Anyway, it's an attempt to upgrade, and we're looking at used. And by going used, this notice of intention is used instead of the bid process. So.
And finance, want to talk about how it's paid for?
Well, just a discussion that I had with Marlon. We'll meet again on Friday afternoon, but the intent was the seller is willing to take a split payment. Is that still on the table?
If we don't get any other bids, because this is the purpose of advertising for special purchase, is if we get somebody else that has a better deal, you know, we could go that way too. Then we'd have to visit with them as one of the conditions. But then what we were intending on doing is we had scheduled like $40,000 this year on a tractor, and we're trying to get a, you know, this one is a low mileage one, come off of a lease, and it'd last us for 30 years, I'm sure. I don't think I'll be here that long, but
that's all I have. Sure.
Comfortable?
Thank you.
The second thing is there was also discussion about a front end loader that there was is that decision, was that final to put?
Right, we had a front end loader scheduled. It's a 99. I think in 2004 we looked at a 5-year buyback and didn't choose to take it at that time. That loader still serves our purpose pretty good. We will have to put new tires on it. It's original tires on it. So, but I did change that out for.
That was one of the things we asked him. I said, if you wanted this, what are you willing to give up?
So, and that's the compromise. And I think that's good. And also to note that, again, that's the $107,000 snow insurance we bought called the snowblower has to fit on the front end of a front end loader. So it's going to need some tires and things. So I think we can work out the particulars. But that was a discussion that we had.
And basically note that that is a change from that last multi-year machine replacement schedule that Marlin's been giving us several copies of over the last few months. So if anybody still has that on file, you can kind of shove that loader back a couple of years.
Any more comments, Matt?
There was a discussion in Finance Committee about a payment claim on an employee who's on medical leave. I spoke with the elected official. Those were payments that were not picked up originally, but he assured me that the payments were correct. So that's why that's in the claim to be paid this time. And there'll be a discussion at a later date. There was an availability issue. Wasn't able to be here today, but we'll have an availability issue or a chance to meet later to clear up some of these discussions that we've had. So just to let you know that that's in the claims. We talked about pulling that out, but I visited with that person, that elected official, personally, and assured me that those were just hours that had gotten missed during doing the payroll out of that office.
Matt, I have a question. How do we remain in open government if we don't see any of that? You're assured of it.
Well, the elected official is responsible for their budget. And when an elected official gives me their word, I take their word.
But the transparency is that is supposed to be available for the board, for the public.
And there was and I asked the elected official if they had an opportunity to be here, but because of some scheduling differences, wasn't able to be here. But I had already talked to Don. We'll have a probably next meeting, try to get something on the agenda so everyone can be brought up to speed on that. He assured me that he'd be present for that. Would explain that to the board. And since it's a personnel issue, that'll be in executive session. That's the intent at this point.
Rex?
Gary?
Before you, have some information on the different statutes that deal with that. I'm not so sure that the county board, if they want to cause an audit, I think if you read through some of this information, I don't know if it's such a big question or not. I ain't so sure the county don't have some authority. And if the county boards don't do it, who's going to do it? If the state auditor isn't involved in some of this, that's where I'm coming from. How, I guess as an elected official, no matter what department I might run, I'd want everything ran through the openness of our clerk and our treasurer's office, but that's just me.
Well, I don't think it's not only the statute about the state auditor. I think our own auditor has that authority to.
I believe you're right.
In 3 years, he can go in and request anybody's books and look at them, observations. So.
Okay. Anything else on the consent agenda? Vote. 7-0 in favor. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. TJ? Name and address for the record.
My name is Tim Suter. I live in Liberty, Nebraska. Dear members of the board, thank you for letting me use this podium. I use it, though, not to speak directly to you, but to try and reach our county supervisor, Randy Rittenauer. Mr. Rittenauer, I've tried twice to talk to you at your office, and I have sent you a letter, but but I've only received a response from your junior prosecutor that information that informed me that if I was to get caught driving without a license, I would be prosecuted for the maximum penalty by the law. This letter was intended for you, and I apologize if it did not find your desk. In this letter I sent you, I included 30 to 40 short letters written by good citizens of not only Gage County, but from all over southeast Nebraska. These are the people that I have worked for, the people who I have spent time with, and the people who have trusted me to do a good job and then send them their money after I was done. I had hoped you would read these letters and form an opinion about my nature and my character and consider that this matter should be investigated. I do not mean to implicate you in any wrongdoing in the Garza case in Johnson County. I do not consider what you told us to say in court to be a lie. We felt, however, that his actions would speak loud enough for his intentions and that we did not have to dress up our words for the jury. We also knew that the consequences of an exaggeration in court could find us at work while among Garza's peers, as consequences can be easily bought in a prison environment. Consequences in a free society, however, are harder to place. I can do nothing to Officer Lewenstein, even though I know that he lied under oath. This is why I'm trying to contact you, Mr. Rittenour. As the Gage County prosecutor, it is your job to see that consequences are placed. Please consider my request and be assured that I feel no hatred for the officers involved. I don't want revenge or feel entitlement. My business survived the 2 years of disruption, and my insurance is affordable again. I will not seek damages, and I will make no other requests other than for you to look for the truth and to bring justice. That should be a prosecutor's goal, and it is the only reason I am here today. Again, I wanted to thank the board for this opportunity, and to please consider this. If our county prosecutor will only ignore this request, deny these allegations, or slander me or my character, then is he doing his job, and why not?
Thank you, TJ.
Okay. That letter was a reference to this letter that I wrote. Well, over there.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you.
You got one. Is that yours, TJ, or yours?
It's
going to
be one center.
Okay.
If you guys have any questions, feel free to contact me. I stand by everything I say. Thanks, sir.
Okay. Thank you, TJ. Yeah. Marlon, you are up. Highway Superintendent report.
I'm Marlon.
Happy Cinco de Mayo.
And anti-grump.
And
anti-grump.
Ask
Susan.
Anti-what?
I obviously didn't do a tour of the
jail. I thought that was every day.
Over there.
That's what you said.
I don't remember seeing it.
It's not a good reading. Morning.
Good morning, Marlon.
I remember a little bit about it.
You know, the suitor's name. George Reaney, Dennis Reaney, nothing.
I'll start off with some zoning issues. And since the Road and Bridge meeting the other morning, I've sent a couple emails back and forth with the guy that's the company that's interested in setting up a temporary asphalt plant. And you can see the emails. I got the legal description, but I got one of his emails. I don't think I got it included. Was that he was planning on doing other work besides what he was doing for the state. So we basically, with the Planning Commission chair and I, we made the decision we're going to have them apply for a special use permit, even for a temporary asphalt plant. I'm talking with consultants and with other zoning administrators. They say it's kind of important to get dates on there so you don't end up having a plant there for several years that you weren't planning on. So.
Where's that plant at, Marlon?
They're proposing in section 417. That'd be about a half mile north of my place.
Is that where we have a report for Bailey Weir Ground
yep.
from the state? That's where that is in?
Nope. Is that, what section is that?
Land owned by Frieda Bailey.
Well, that could be it.
There's a couple different parcels in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, there's a couple different ones, yeah.
Okay, so that's relevant to that then?
If it's the same section. I know there was another appraisal done for a piece of property. I sent the email on to the county attorney and the clerk on the 8 mile curve down here.
Will you come by and look before you leave, eyeball this for me and make sure
okay.
that's
okay. All right. And so, and then along with that, as we're still working on comp plan update, wind regulations, zoning regulations, we're not going to be able to have a meeting on May 12th, which is our normal day, because I have that site manager training, and the Planning Commission said that they didn't want to go ahead and have a meeting without the planning administrator there. So we're, as soon as we get the application for this special use, we'll set up a meeting. It might be June, second week in June, which is our normal meeting week. So, and along with that, as we got a call just as I was leaving, the new floodplain maps are done, and the county board will have to approve we'll have to get some improvement from the county board, and that has to be done by June 18th, I think. So we'll get that on the agenda in the next meeting or two. Then moving on.
Marlon, Mr. Chairman.
Matt.
Planning and zoning expenses, still got three-quarters of that dollar sitting there. I just was reviewing expenditures.
Yeah, we're going to, I don't know how much more they're going to bill us this year, but that original contract was for $12,500, and I was just working on the budget for next year. I think we spent $3,500 already or something.
So we should carry that over, plan on
probably
carrying.
Roll that over to next year. We can use it for rock and gravel, I guess. Okay. Any other questions? All right, moving right along. I did put a copy of that notice that I'll put in the paper on that special purchase. And then I have on my report LPARC update. These some of the emails I've been getting. It seems like daily things change. It's pretty hard to keep up with it. We had to cancel our negotiation meeting for last Wednesday. I'm not quite sure why yet, but the NDR rep, Greg Wood, his secretary called about an hour before the meeting and said we have to cancel it, and I've been trying to set one up ever since then, and we haven't got it set up yet. So, and that's for negotiating the CE contract for the Barnston South stimulus project. So. Behind that, I got an update of all the federal projects that have been built in Gage County and the engineered projects. It would be about the fourth page to the last. A while ago, I did a study on how many federal aid bridges were built in Gage County. From 1995 to 2002, I could come up with any federal aid bridge projects. We had two STPE projects, Odell North and Adams Southwest. Then the NDOR did two recreational road projects in 95. That was the Rockford Lake and Big Inyan. Then you can see there the Barnston Southeast, which is Mission Creek Bridge. That was built in 2002. That was before I got here. I think it was finished that fall. Then the after that is the Wymore Southeast. The Hertz Bridge was done in 2003. The Adams Northwest Dorn Bridge in 2006, Odell Northwest 2007, Ethanol Road 2007, Homestead Drive 2007. The Barnston South Bridge is contracted. The Adams Northwest is the right-of-way has been bought. There's still an issue with getting all that paperwork straightened out on an easement, and there's a the NEPA's been started on, but they're not concentrating on any of these other projects unless they're stimulus. The in Wymore one, we appointed the RC for that a couple weeks ago. We're working on that railroad easement there yet. Otherwise, all the right-of-way is done. Then the Beatrice North, which is the STP Hickory Road project. We're hoping for a late summer, early fall bid letting on that. NEPA's been back and forth. It's been a couple times they changed the format, so we're getting close on that. Any questions?
Well, on your front page, you indicate that the Wymore Bridge, all right-of-way required. That's not quite accurate then? The railroad is still in limbo?
Right. It's a railroad easement that they're looking at.
Okay. Did you have the easement, or are they just looking at it?
Well, they're working on trying to get the easement.
You don't have anything from railroads yet?
No. That's what we did that other contract, supplemental contract with Midwest Right-of-Way to do that. That was earlier this spring, I think.
Charging you by the hour?
Yeah.
Gary?
The last section.
Excuse me. Go ahead.
Was Midwest, we hired them again, or was this an ongoing thing from years ago on this project?
It was an ongoing thing, and they did they did all the other stuff, so we... I don't know when I brought it to the board. I think it was, I just looked at that agreement yesterday, but we had to do a reappraisal for that railroad right away for some reason.
Dave? So.
I was just going to comment that, and obviously we're pursuing this best we can, but the road, both north and south of that bridge, is in the Wymore city limits, and they're letting that get quite bad, patching it with rock instead of asphalt, et cetera. And gotten a few complaints, but again, Wymore doesn't want to obviously spend money that might get tore out and rebuilt in short order. And
well, Marlin has made offers to Wymore if we would use our overlay if we switched out the snow maintenance to the cemetery. You offered to patch it. I shouldn't say overlay. You offered to patch it. The county has stepped forward and tried to assist on that, because we do the snow removal from what, the east side of Wymore to the cemetery, and it's a we got to go out of our way to do the snow removal. So that was one of the
west side of the
west side. So I mean, the offers have been made to assist there, Dave.
And I think there's misconception in the time frame of this. You know, for the last 3 or 4 years, like Wymore keeps thinking, well, next year we'll get a bridge. And at least from some of our parts, we keep telling them, no, it's probably several years down the road that, you know, they may want to do some repairs. And I mean, it's obviously their issue. But do you have any sense of a timeline, Mark?
Well, it's on the 2011 STIP, which is a state transportation improvement plan.
That means about what?
That means that it's at least in there. It's got to be in there before it'll ever get built, so it's moving up the ladder.
Within 4 or 5 years of being accurate.
That project was started in 97, so as far as federal projects, it ain't that terrible long yet, but there have been some others that have been longer, so. Any other questions?
Yes.
Gary?
What's the status of Hickory Roads paving?
That was that other project I talked about as Beatrice North.
But how many?
Either, you know, possibly late summer, early fall bid.
And then it would be the following year before they probably do it.
Probably. I wouldn't, you know, it depends on the contractors or, you know, if they get it lit in time to do it this fall.
Not this time last year, you were saying this spring.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, then the stimulus kind of took over, and they didn't advance any other projects. And
Matt?
Did we ever get that corrected? There was an email you sent around that showed that project wasn't actually going to get done until 2013. Remember, was it? Was
yeah, we got that. Yeah, I got right on that. They actually called a few days ago and said they were looking around and seen that one was about ready to go, and I said, well, duh. But
did everybody get a highway survey, a survey to fill out from NDR? I hope you all filled it out.
Oh, yes.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. What else, Marlon?
All right. Questions, I guess, on the weed department budget. I didn't get a sheet on that, so how do we go about that one? Because evidently we're not going to have a separate budget.
You'll get a sheet. I want to make sure I've got the lines right.
Okay. And, okay, FEMA meeting yesterday was really well attended by three counties and three townships. So we're going around and getting contact on all the townships, trying to get them signed up. I've got to call in to the head guy to see if we can just cover all that rock under our damages. I don't know if they'll let us or not.
Nope.
Our original plan, if they don't, was to bill all the townships, and if they don't want to sign up, you know what, we'll take it out of their gravel allotment or something. I don't know. I'll have to ask the board about that. But
how many townships showed up?
Three.
What three?
How many townships do we have? 24.
What three, Marlon?
Liberty, Riverside, and Adams, Mr. Bill Burroughs, ex-senator.
That's primarily for the May 4th.
That's primary for the March
fall.
Snowmelt.
Yeah,
March snowmelt.
6th to April 3rd. I think they're calling the dates. Storm number 1902. So.
Well, and most of the townships have been through the drill now, what, three times this winter, so, you know, they know the presentation. Now they got to do sign papers, basically, right?
Right, yeah.
I mean, so it wasn't, life or death that they'd be
right,
there.
Right, and it is.
Planting corn, you know, somewhat in their defense. So.
Yep.
The last one was a lot of work, and they didn't get anything out of that. It had to be an emergency that you had to have someone having a baby, not maybe 2 days that minute, or they didn't get anything. And they said the county, a lot of them said that the county pays for the rock anyway, so why should they go to...
Yeah, that's why I'm a little worried, because we need to recoup some of that if we can. And the next thing is, issue two is also call your congressmen and senators or write them a letter. They haven't funded the, not at the state level, maybe federal level. They haven't funded the... like the repair part on any of these FEMA, last two or three FEMA storms. They've done the damage, the emergency stuff, but they haven't funded the rest. The president signed all the declarations, but there's no money, because that was a question I asked yesterday, is when do we get our money, because we're three, four storms behind. So, and that's the answer they gave me.
Well, you email that to me so I can contact our Congress.
Okay.
Thank you.
What's your email address? Because I'm not sure if you're getting any of
it.
Okay. Other than that, I think I don't know if you got the paper yet today, but they put a little article in about the helipad. So got that all poured. We're going to shoulder it. We're going to let Mark paint an H in it sometime. Otherwise, that's done. So
I want to tell you, I've heard compliments on what a great job your people did on that pad. That they really
thank you. I'll pass it on. So.
Yeah.
We're going to hire you to do all the concrete work from here on, sidewalks.
Sidewalks. We got a 50-foot street we can use. Not the county. We borrowed it. So.
Anything else for the highway department?
We are starting to shoulder on that South 66 road. We are getting an extra motor grader this afternoon for a demonstration on the, you know, we are taking bids later on for the motor grader, so the companies are wanting to bring some out so we can try them out.
Is it an all-wheel drive by any chance?
This one isn't yet, but it's a what do you call a stick control motor grader like the new ones are? Joystick. So.
If you get an all-wheel on the job, you might just notify the board members.
He's going to try and get more.
Some may want to see, I don't know how much you can see, but they do operate a little differently. So.
Any other questions?
Thank you. Introduction and new Gage County Sheriff Deputy.
Thank you.
Mr. Klaus is up.
Morning. This is Ben Hartman. We just hired him. He started Monday, and he is certified. He just graduated from the non-law program in Grand Island. He put himself through the academy out there, and he was our top candidate. So we made him an offer, and he accepted. He replaces Greg Bilek, who took a job with UNLPD for an $8,000 raise. So he felt he ought to take that. So. Ben gratefully accepted and feel he'd be a great asset to our agency. And if he wants to say a couple words about where you're from and that type of thing.
Yeah, I'm from Grand Island originally. Been living in Lincoln for about 5 years, going to school out there. I'm just happy to be here. I'm happy for the opportunity. I think I've met a lot of you already, but I'm looking forward to working with everybody. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
He'll go through... 12-week FTO program where he'll be with some different people and go through the steps of the program that he's got to fill and where he'll go out on his own and stuff. So today he's riding with Deputy Schley and kind of learning the ropes for his first week and do a few little preliminary things. So and he'll go to night shift for a while and back to days and back around. So he's looking forward to it.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Discussion of construction change directives 1 and 2.
Well, you have copies of those available to you. AI.
Glad you came, Gabe.
You getting the work?
Getting the work out.
They're AIA documents, G7114. The Building and Grounds Committee decided to go this way, which would be to pay just for time and materials instead of a change order involving Cheever's construction. This all came about as a result of a change in a ruling by the state fire marshal that we had some wood lath in the tile ceiling, and they said that was combustible material in the ceiling space and therefore had to be removed. And by that having to be removed, that then made a lot of stuff that would have to be reinstalled and re-anchored, like electrical, plumbing, everything else up in there. And so we decided to go this route. We're looking at probably somewhere in the neighborhood of around $2,500 for the treasurer's office, since that was the most extensive area, and probably less than $2,000 for the other 11 offices where this is being done, basically on this. It's all on this floor.
And this falls under the umbrella of the building grounds,
$5,000. And we felt this was a much more reasonable way to go, so we told David to go ahead and get things going. If you've been into the treasurer's office today, all those wood strips basically have been removed, and some ceiling has been reinstalled, and so everything's pretty well done in that part.
It's not that lath, is it? It's the other strips that were.
Yeah, it's those 1x2s. You saw little 1x2 strips,
yep.
And We kind of thought all the fire suppressions and sprinklers we're putting in there, why do we got to do this again, you know? But every time we turn around, there's another little thing that comes up. So it's coming along. There's basically, like I said, there's the treasurer's and 11 other offices involved with this thing. So no action needed to be taken. We just wanted to let you know what was going on in, involving this. So.
Okay. Discussion of an adult diversion program and accountability of funds. Gary.
Yeah, Rex. A couple of us have received some inquiries from some of the public and some of our constituents, so this is just a discussion item only, and we couldn't take any action. Don't know if we would anyway, but I guess the question was, I think some other board members have heard this too, how do they account for the funds? And I think Don did some research on different counties, and I think that's what this is, on what programs they have and how they do it. And I guess the questions that I've had posed to me were about the accountability that as any of us as elected officials, I guess, is it, I assume it must be lawful then, if this is the way this is ran, that as an elected official, you can receive funds from people that you kind of have control over, and they're the outcome of different things, but yet the only accountability is who, and I guess I don't have a question to that. I guess my question being, maybe our attorney's representative here can answer that. Does the state auditor audit those funds then, or do you know? On the diversion programs, who actually audits that? Because all of our other departments in the county get audited. And is this a fluke of the state legislature that there is a statute that would allow this without any oversight by anyone?
Currently, there is no legislation. I have the statutes here with me. Our adult diversion program, there are a few requirements. Nebraska revised statutes 3601 through 3609 legislate the diversion program. It talks to the purpose of the legislation, permitting participants alternatives to traditional criminal justice proceedings on a voluntary basis. They have access to counsel prior to making decisions to participate, and these decisions or diversion occurs prior to adjudication but after arrests, and the result of participation is dismissal of charges or the equivalent. That's the purpose. As we know, the pretrial diversion program was established by the county attorney with the concurrence of the board in 2009. That's also in compliance with the statute. Pretrial diversion plan for criminal offenses and requirements. What diversion requires, the statutes require formal eligibility guidelines established with the criminal justice officials and written and made available on a routine dissemination to all interested parties, which we've got here. That is in the form of our Gage County Diversion Services pamphlet, which is handed out by law enforcement officials in our diversion office. The opportunity for defendants to review with counsel their decision to make the program, dismissal upon completion of the program, a provision that participants can withdraw at any time, that enrollment cannot be conditioned on making guilty pleas. Defendants who are denied enrollment may have an administrative review and a written reasons for denial, and DUI, driving under the influences, are not eligible. And then it goes into the STOP Commission, which is Gage County STOP is run through Nebraska Safety Commission Highway Standards.
Does the state do the funding, the in and out of the money on that program?
As far as the accountability goes, there are no statutory provisions for accountability, whether it be by county boards or other financial review bodies. So the diversion, the county diversion around the state vary. County diversion programs like Sarpy County count for their programs through the county board. Those programs are not self-operating like Gage County or Lancaster counties. They are actually funded by the county partly in addition to receiving grants and crime commission. Those monies, like Sarpy County, are then turned over to the county and the program is paid out of the county's general fund.
Where they're getting at, we've been given some information on 23-1601, county treasurer's general duties, and it defines it as a duty of the county treasurer to receive all monies belonging to the county from whatever source derived and by any method of payment provided. So that's where I think you're headed with that, isn't it?
Yeah, in 1608.
Okay, so you get to where
here
it's
we go.
Going. So.
Receive all money belonging to the county. Diversion program is self-operating, just like Lancaster County. Gage County and Diversion and Gage County and Lancaster County, as self-operating programs, are funded only by the monies that they receive from federal grants and the fees paid into the voluntary fees paid into the diversion program. The county doesn't. Our county and Lancaster County does not fund that program. Thereby. So as far as accountability goes, we have advisory committees in place. Lancaster County, Gage County have advisory committees. These advisory committees meet on a regular basis, at least 6 months apart, generally quarterly. Gage County's advisory committee is made up of the judge, chief of police, sheriff, superintendents of the schools, and the other law enforcement officials. So there's where our accountability comes from.
Who audits you then? Nobody?
Just the advisory committee.
There's no public audit of money that elected officials receive from citizens. There's no audit of that?
Elected officials aren't receiving these monies, which is probably why there is no audit.
Right.
For instance, the county attorney's office doesn't receive that money. Any monies provided to the diversion program are to pay
okay,
the
who
diversion
writes the
program.
Checks? Who writes the checks? That's, I guess, a kind of a bottom line.
The diversion program does.
But who? What person signs the checks?
The diversion coordinator and...
So Mr. Badiotto signs the checks.
And the other advisory, other members of the advisory committee.
Okay. Statute 23-1608, it says something, it talks about county officers, audit required, and that county boards can cause an examination of those things. How does that fall into what you're telling us?
County officers, in this case, are not receiving any funds related to diversion. The diversion program is
the funds are derived from what a county officer's actions do, though, right?
Not,
that may be
not
a gray area on what they tell us, but like I'm going to use their pop machine in that. There's an accountability on that fund that's audited.
Yeah, a little pop machine.
Though, yeah. So we have some confusion here on things
who's
like
pop,
that.
Whose pop machine is
the
that?
Sheriff's Department.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have a petty cash fund that is audited and. The unknown of all this is where we're headed, is we don't understand it.
Okay.
Why does the extension office collect fees that have no part with us, but they have to go through the not you, the treasurer, I guess. They go through the treasurer's office. We're just trying to understand some of it.
What fees are going through the treasurer's office that you're
what fees come from? Well, Ron can probably touch a little bit on that.
We own that building.
Well, it's just things that they receive from various sources, whatever. And that comes directly to the treasurer's office and goes into the general fund.
We shouldn't
fund.
Point it on the treasurer.
The treasurer, right.
In order to the treasurer's office. But I guess the question I've got, it comes up that the adult version will come at no cost to the county.
Right.
Okay. Then who paid for about $40 worth of postage that went out because of the adult diversion program?
The way we were doing that was more of a matter of convenience, take all our mail up at once, and diversion paid back the county.
And did they?
That was what I've been told, is that was what was going to be happening.
Going to be, but you're not sure?
I don't know if that has taken
place. Do we have to run down all this stuff all the time?
What's that?
Do we have to run down this all the time that says, okay, $40 come out of... We paid a claim or out of postage, then we got to go.
That would be a claim, and that would be returned.
Yeah, but it shouldn't be a claim because it's an adult diversion program, and you just got to understand that that's paid for out of non-county funds. But here was county funds going to pay for postage for that program.
Which will be reimbursed.
Well,
by the diversion program, so then no monies are being paid out for the diversion program by the county.
Why didn't you just use adult diversion money to go ahead and buy postage?
As far as I knew, they had been doing that. It was just this certain instance where that was done.
Who's multiple?
Mr. Chair.
Dave.
It seems interesting here that the question is, was it county monies or not? I think that's the argument she's raising, but yet this board had to approve the hiring, according to state statute, this board had to approve the creation of the program, if I understand it.
Correct.
So the definition gets more muddled as we go. So that needs to be determined. I think to continue to grill this young lady probably isn't.
Well, she's the wrong one to be asking the questions to, correct.
The question is, are there other funds? I think we went through this a number of years ago with that stop fund, and I don't know if we got that corrected, but for years that was a private little fund up in the old attorney's office.
Doug, why did you guys quit checking deer?
I'm sorry?
Why did you guys quit checking deer?
Well,
too many ticks.
No. Honestly, they could no longer use that money. It had to go into the general fund and be audited by the auditor's office. For that $1 they received for checking the deer, the $600 they got a year, whatever it may have been, that money had to go into the general fund and be drawn from the treasurer to the clerk to the claims. And that is, I mean, that's how detailed the accountability is of government offices. So the questions are valid, and then the misunderstandings are very clear. It's just, how do we get there to get to where we all understand and feel comfortable where we need to be?
The diversion program operates separately from county officials and county government programs would. Just like your victims coordinator program, your MAPS diversion, your MAPS community justice, they're all individually funded by state or by the fees that they receive. So then there's no county going in or out of the county, or there's no monies going in or out of the county government.
Rex,
Mr. Chair,
I guess my final comment is, I guess if, as an elected official, just like on our mileage when he claims some of us, and I would want everything. Just that's just myself. As if the people elect me, I want it. I don't even want a question. I want it every penny. I would want every penny accounted for in and out. So nothing like this would ever happen to me or people would even question it. But that's just me.
Mr. Chair, my comment would be for perhaps a senator to take back Lincoln to his cohorts that when legislation such as this gets passed, the accountability function should be clearly laid out in statute at the time of passage.
Yes.
And the legal community just in general kind of operates in and of and with itself. I know the high courts have some funds and that they seem to be given a lot of autonomy that maybe they shouldn't have, because all these funds sometimes are collected from taxpayers, oftentimes through some type of coercion. It's a choice. You know, you're either going to fund this program or you're going to do time. Well, I mean, particularly when people are coerced, that amount of money really ought to be audited frequently and thoroughly.
I was just looking at I don't even know where this came from, but a sheet of counties that where is the money deposited in all the comparable, not comparables, the counties that have diversions, they're all deposited with the treasurer. So I don't know where that
those
came
counties
from.
Are generally funded by the county also, whereas Gage County is not.
Any more questions relative to the diversion?
Yeah.
Okay. Approve or disapprove requiring all appointed or elected officials to have approval of the Gage County Board of Supervisors by board action before any non-county employee may occupy or use any county property, either real or personal, for any reason. This requirement is retroactive and includes any arrangements or use of property owned by Gage County by non-county employees by which use of property was not previously agreed to by action of the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Gary.
Yeah, this is a continuation of a discussion item we had not very long ago, and I just as we did with some other things, I put it on here so we can get it cleared up so we don't have to look at this for the rest of the year.
Make a motion to approve.
Moved by Bauman.
This just a question.
We need a second, Ron.
Oh.
We need a second on that. Moved by Bauman.
Oh, I thought
Oh, I'll second. Gary, was yours in a motion and a second?
No, I didn't second it. Matt made the motion.
Well, I'll second it.
And Ron seconded. Now discussion, Ron.
This goes back to the Gage County Extension. There's a lot of those are non-Gage County employees. So, but I want to make sure that the action taken does not affect, because they're in our building.
Okay.
We own that extension. We own that office. So
We
have an agreement, evidently, with Gage County in University of Nebraska. I think it takes care of that.
Would Matt be the one to amend the motion to exclude the extension office?
I'm not so sure it needs to be. I'm just bringing the question up that
that is
our office.
Yeah.
And there's people in that office. But I think they're there because of it.
All we need is a disclaimer from the extension office of this is who's there. And
When that was built, there would have been an agreement at that time by board action.
Sure there was.
There
had to be because most of those people out there are funded by the university.
Yes.
Well, they aren't appointed or elected out there, though, are they? I don't think we appoint our...
No.
Does this board ever appoint the county
extension agent?
No,
we don't.
I don't think so.
Set on the interviews.
I think that's
normal.
A university appointment.
So but we did.
So I don't believe that would apply.
Yeah.
But we did have, did have somebody out there working that was in the adult diversion program.
Well, sir, that's not our employee. That's not our employee.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So. Matt.
Well, my support for this is because as we're in charge of the buildings for Gage County, if we think that we have office space here that could be used for something and we decide, well, this would be a place we could put somebody, but someone else is already using that, then all of a sudden we no longer have that space. So I think it's appropriate that we do this so that we know who's where, what space we have available. So as we go through and we change things, need to move offices, especially through this construction process, as we've shuffled people back and forth, we need to know what space is available, what place is vacant, and what place is being occupied.
Mr. Klaus had a...
This may be beyond the scope of what you're talking about and the purpose. I know from time to time, though, and it talks more probably real estate is what you're addressing, but I guess if we want to split hairs and get down to it, if we give somebody a ride or we do something where we pick somebody up along the highway, they would actually be occupying county property, and that's going to be a pretty frequent basis that we would have, or police officers training, or we go to lunch together. Those type of things may come and that would apply, so I don't want to.
I don't believe they would, Doug. That's doing your job. That's part of what you're doing under Gus. I don't think that's a...
I just didn't before it got to the point of a vote that we maybe need to just at least discuss it.
Yeah, you don't want to leave them on the roadside and you
take
them off.
Because we didn't have permission.
Well, the question might be, though, how about the State Patrol who comes in to use your offices?
That had been an arrangement at one point. I've seen it on paper, Danny, but I don't remember how long ago that was approved.
Okay.
But it was approved.
I just want to make sure again that we don't, shoot ourselves in the foot here while we're trying to do something to be accountable. We'll make sure that we don't shoot ourselves.
We'll have other agencies involved in this as well, so.
But at some point. But I believe, and I think, Danny, to address your concern, it's sure a valid one. As the extension office, there was prior agreements with board action, I believe, to have those things done. I'm pretty sure.
I don't remember.
May.
Yes.
I think the county attorney's concern in this matter would be more of preventing liability, maybe establishing a resolution with a set of guidelines for approving or disapproving. That way, in the future, if a non-employee, non-Gage County employee were to occupy a county space, if the board were to deny a person to do so, it had some sort of guidelines so that they couldn't come back and say, well, the board's acting arbitrarily or whatever the purpose might be. A resolution with some guidelines might be appropriate in order to avoid any kind of liability in the future.
Call for the question, Rex.
Motion, or it's been called for the question. Vote for call of the question. 7-0. Vote to approve or disapprove. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove resolution to transfer $350,000 from the general fund to the road fund for the operation of the department. Resolution 10-14.
We approve resolution 10-14 in the amount of $350,000 for the general fund road operations of the department.
Second. Moved by Fleece, seconded by Bauman. Discussion. Vote. 7-0. Approve or disapprove resolution to transfer $230,000 from the general fund to the emergency bridge fund.
I would move we approve the transfer of $230,000 from the general fund to the emergency bridge fund, and that no funds would be spent out of that fund this fiscal year budget.
That's the last part you said?
That no funds would come out of that emergency.
Second.
Seconded by Bauman.
Bridge fund this fiscal year budget.
That mean the next 2 months? Is that what you're referring to? The remainder of this year?
Yeah.
I think the goal was in the budget we had wanted to, maybe a couple years ago, even before I was here, wanted to build these funds up. So we're transferring these dollars from the general fund to these funds so we can build those up. They're not for expense this year unless we need them. Taking board action to use those dollars. We want to try and build some of those funds up.
Yeah, it's basically it's what it's for. It's an emergency fund. We had taken funds out of that, was it last year, David?
Yeah.
Out of that because
something
we had to
on
use.
The bond issue, was it? Or, you know,
that's the next one.
The internal bonding.
That's the next one.
Yeah, that's the next one. Okay.
Yeah. And so that's why I have in there that no funds would be come out of that emergency fund this year. We look at it each year to see if there's it's got to be an emergency. That's all, period. And it has to come to the board before we go to authorize it.
And this would be different than the general fund that we...
That's right. Not
the road funds we kicked over from Arlen right just before that. That's for operations.
Any more discussion on that? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove resolution to transfer $99,844.85 from the general fund to the Road and Bridge Sinking Fund, Resolution 1016.
I would move we approve Resolution 1016 to transfer from the general fund $99,844.85 with the same statement on it that it would not be able to be spent this fiscal year.
Second.
Moved by Fleece, seconded by Bauman. Discussion.
This is where, David, we were talking about. We spent some monies that was in that sinking fund this last year to supplement the bond issue, the revenue bond issue that we had last year for doing asphalt road improvements on that. So this is, again, start to put money back into that for the emergency road and bridge sinking fund. So it's not an emergency fund. It's a sinking fund. So it handles a little bit different on that.
Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Discussion on claims submitted by Bill Wheeling for reimbursement of wages and retirement contribution. Mr. Wheeling contacted me, and I asked him to send an email, which he did, and I think everyone's seen it. 3 years ago, a claim was overpaid for outgoing elected officials, which they said it probably has happened for years. It was caught by the auditor, and we asked the 7 elected officials to reimburse the 2 weeks' pay they had. Mr. Wheeling was the only one that reimbursed it. County Attorney's Office, I think memory serves me right, have found it difficult to pursue that. And we as a board, you know, we did not pursue it as a board either. So Mr. Wheeling has been the only one that has paid, and he has asked in good faith that he is the only one that paid, that he would like a refund of his money also. Gary.
Rex, I believe in this case it would only be fair that we do that. The others did not step forward. They didn't want to pay it.
It is $400-some.
Yeah, and I think we need to do that. It's kind of probably no different than what we did on some attorney fees that we approved for some other people. So we got to be fair, and I think if we don't allow his claim, it would seem pretty unfair since he's the only one that actually did what we asked, to punish him when the others
did.
He did
it in a timely, good faith
manner. Yes, he did. Yes, he did, and I believe we owe that to the gentleman.
I think that problem, overpayment, has been corrected.
Yes.
Yes, it has.
Yeah.
That was prior to us.
Well, I know.
You mean for future?
But yeah, well, yeah.
Yeah.
Matt?
So this will show up next meeting as an action item, because initially it took, as I followed up with the county attorney's office, took board action to request that he send those letters. So it's actually board action that caused this to get rolling. So wanted to have the discussion this meeting, think about it, show up as an action item next meeting.
And put it on the claims of next meeting.
So it'll probably be part of the regular consent agenda claims.
Yep. Any more discussion? Review and discuss potential changes to emergency management job description. Matt?
This come up with the use of Mark and the job description of the emergency management director. I think that we recognize that Mark's a huge asset to Gage County. There's a lot of, wears a lot of different hats, and I think that he's a resource there for us. There's been equipment that he has purchased that can be a resource for the county also that I know that the sheriff's department uses. There's a lot of specialized training that Mark has, and so Don, I don't know, did I have you forward a job description to everybody? I'll get her to bounce one to everybody just to review that. We're getting time of year for annual performance evaluations of employees, working with Mark, that his job description as it stands now is pretty narrow, a pretty narrow scope, and recognizing that Mark does a lot for the county, and just to make sure that no one's operating outside of their scope of practice or job description, we may need to broaden that. So there'll be some language we may need to add to that, and I'll work with Mark, and we'll visit emergency management. Biggest thing is, you know, we've got a limited number of employees, and a lot of people wear different hats, and if somebody has some skills that can help somebody else out, I think the board needs to be notified and aware of what's going on and what that employee's activities are, and we just need to amend the job description to be aware of that and continue to work with the employees that we're supposed to be in charge of and ask for their ongoing feedback and make sure that everybody's doing what they're supposed to do. So the additions will come up, and I just wanted to have that discussion that I think we need to broaden that a little bit because I think, again, Mark's got a lot of resources. He wears a lot of hats, and he's an asset there. We've seen him help around the courthouse. I know he helps out the sheriff's department at times, and we just need to make sure that everyone knows what everyone's responsibility is and no one's being asked to do something that's outside of their description.
Gary.
Being on the committee with Matt, I agree with what direction we're heading there. And I guess I would also add, and I think it would be beneficial to everybody, and we've talked about this, and I don't remember the particulars, and I don't know if Matt does, about making Mark a contract employee as Marlon is. I think it helped both sides if we could do that. And I have no understanding of why he isn't a contract employee. We only have really, I believe, two people working directly for the board. It's Marlon and Mark. One's a contract employee and one's not. So is there a reason that he's not a contract employee? What are you laughing about?
I just had a thought looking at Marlon. But
let it go. And
yeah,
just,
I am.
But I think we ought to move the direction of, and I think it'd be beneficial to Mark, too.